from the 37. Humphreys. Game is over, and a big hit by Quincy Williams at the end of the night. And Gardner Minshew, the second, has a win in his first home start. And the Jaguars are 1-2. And maybe sending a notice out there that they have to be reckoned with this year in the AFC South.
Didn't play well enough last week or this week. So that's what we're going to have to try to fix is be better in the tight situations last week and try to get off to a better start and not have so many penalties.
Good to great, Jared and the GM. Good to great, Floyd Reese on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. That's what they were. Good to great. And then we just saw the last two games against the Colts and the Jags. Floyd, on this Fireball Hot Take Friday, I'll give out the phone number now, 615-737-1025. Floyd, would you like to start with your reaction to yesterday, or would you like me to start?
It doesn't make any difference to me.
Okay, I'll start. But when I start, all I ask is for at least 2 minutes of ability to rant without you stopping me.
Well, it depends on how many chuckle, depends on how many dumb things you say.
And then you can call me a moron and chuckle all you want. But I just want 2 unabated minutes. Can I have my 2 unabated minutes?
Starting now.
I go to the coach. I mean, I go, like, yesterday, everything, like, this is what's going to happen.
It's football. Everybody, football or basketball.
I cannot go unabated.
Right to the coach.
Before we get into anything about this game, other than this, that game entirely took a turn when Mike Vrabel made the bad decision to send Adoree Jackson back to return punts. I know Adoree isn't worth a darn returning punts. You know he's not worth a darn returning punts. We all know he can't return punts. And I'm sitting there watching, and I see Adoree go back there, and I'm thinking to myself, don't screw this up. And then I see the ball hit the ground, and I'm thinking, don't touch the ball. Just whatever you do, don't touch it. And then I see Adoree go towards the ball. And I said to myself, oh, my God, he's going to fumble. And then he touches it, he fumbles, and the Jags score a touchdown. And it just changed the whole momentum of the game. It just changed everything. You get a 3-and-out to start, you get the ball, you can do whatever you want. Now you're down 7-0. And so that was a poor coaching decision by Vrabel. Secondly, the decision to go for it on 4th and 6th, I thought was ridiculous, which is a whole different thing. I think everybody else, and Vrabel's not the only problem, but in my opinion, he's the main problem for this game. And I think a lot of people are going to point the finger at Marcus, and they're going to just pin everything that happened yesterday on Marcus. And while I don't think Marcus was very good yesterday, I don't think it's fair to just go and point the finger right at Marcus and say, you suck, you're not a franchise quarterback, because the guy had no time yesterday to throw. It's like he overshoots a 3rd and 16 where he gets hit by two guys, and everybody on Twitter says, Mariota stinks. And I'm sitting there saying, it's 3rd and 16, and he's getting hit by two guys. What do you expect him to do? Nail a BB in there? And so I felt like Marcus wasn't good, but is just everyone's just ripping on Marcus. And then I think the other thing is the thing, Floyd, you always refer to, and that's bad football, and that's stupid penalties, bad turnovers, you know, not tackling, just bad football. And I think the Titans took all the bad football they had, put it in a bag, and took it on the plane to Jacksonville, because that was bad football last night. And so Jacksonville was playing with a chip on their shoulder. They had everything to go out there. Their season was on the line. They played like it. The road team is on a disadvantage on Thursday Night Football. And the Titans, as a collective team led by their head coach, played with their heads firmly up their rear ends. And that's how you get the result you got last night. Your reaction.
First of all, you're full of crap as usual. But you know what? You cannot go into a game and fumble the ball right away. But I will say this. Even when they were 14 down, there's still 3.5 quarters to play.
Oh.
3.5 quarters. And that's almost an entire game. So you can go and you can make up and you can improve and you can do all those things. But, I mean, it's the NFL is always the same, which you think you cure a problem. you think because you get away with it from a team where your offensive line doesn't get you killed, that it's cured. The problem is still there, whether they take advantage of it or not. You know, I said before the game, if I was Jacksonville, I would put everybody on the line. I would bring them all. I would knock the quarterback down. I'd stop the run, knock the quarterback down, which is exactly what they did. And we couldn't pick it up. Now, we couldn't, with all the blitzes and things they ran, we probably couldn't pick it up even if we had, you know, a really good offensive line, because they were going to get through at points in time. But, I mean, they put constant pressure on us, and it was tough. We couldn't run the ball. We couldn't throw the ball. You know, we couldn't pass protect. We couldn't. It was just a struggle. Defense really played pretty good for the most part. They had one bad series. They had one bad run again, which we have to stop, but another long run. But other than that, I mean, the defense was pretty good for down or series in and series out. You know, a lot of three and outs, a lot of, you know, maybe give them a first down and then recover and make up for it. And so, you know, I thought that part of the game was fine. But you know what? This is the sad part. As you go last week, like last week's game and this week's game are not anywhere near each other. Last week's game, we messed up with mentally. This week's game, we messed up with physically, because we were trying to block that defensive front with that offensive line, and it's just simply not good enough. So, you know, I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. You can't wave a magic wand and bring in a whole new group of offensive linemen, or even a new offensive lineman. And so, you know, you've got to find a way to get better. You got to find a way to get healthy. You got to find a way to get people back and to where you can eliminate some of the real distress areas and narrow them down to just one versus having a couple. And until you can do that, I mean, it's going to be tough road.
I don't feel like there's a fix, though, on the offensive line. I mean, people think that when Taylor Lewan gets back, that'll immediately fix it. I mean, Douglas is still out there, and I don't see anybody taking Douglas's job anytime soon.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody does take his job pretty soon.
Who?
I don't know.
Who?
Anybody. Who you got?
I mean,
somebody.
I don't know. He's terrible. But Conklin was terrible yesterday, too. You can't replace all five of them.
Oh, they were all. I mean, they were.
Conklin was awful.
And I think this is what happens, and we talked about it before. I mean, you know you've got a couple of weak spots, and you're trying to cover for those weak spots. And you know, bless Arthur Smith. I mean, he's trying to keep two backs in. He's trying to keep a tight end in.
Started bringing Quisenberry in.
Chip, yeah, he's trying to chip with people. He's trying everything in the book to try to slow this thing down a little bit, to where he can, you know, give his quarterback a chance, and just couldn't do it. I mean, it just never worked. And I mean, I really liked. If I was Jacksonville, I would have done the same thing that they did. I would have lined up, I would have brought the house, and I would have said, okay, you know, see if you can block us. And the truth is, you know, we couldn't block Campbell. I couldn't block Allen. I mean, there were a couple that we couldn't block. But
are the Titans a bad football team?
The offensive line is bad right now, yeah.
But are they a bad team? I mean, are we looking at a bad team?
No, that defense is not bad. The defense is good. But, you know, are you going to be able to tell it? I don't know. You know, the punter is good. Are you going to be able to tell it? I don't know. I mean, that's the sad part. Now, the offense the offensive line has a lot of work to do.
So the Adoree punt absolutely killed the game yesterday from the start. But you're right, because they got the ball, I want to say, with 3 minutes to go in the first half. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, right around midfield, they get the ball, score, halftime, score. And all of a sudden, all the energy all the wind and everything is out of Jacksonville's sail, and they couldn't do anything.
Well, we got the ball, couldn't do, you know.
Could not do
on
anything.
The 40, couldn't get started.
They could get like one play out of every 10 plays. They could hit one down the field, which made sense because Jacksonville was blitzing every play. So you hit one down the field, and then you get the ball to the 35-yard line, and then you go backwards, backwards, backwards. And now you have to punt when you could have kicked a field goal. And then Vrabel's decision to not kick the field goal, I thought was just laughable. I thought that was Johnny Young coach out there. Just laughable.
I had absolutely no problem with it.
Oh, I had such a problem with it. Oh, my God.
I knew you would.
You can't. The halftime reporter, you know, Christina Pink, the halftime reporter
who?
Says, Mike Vrabel, the halftime reporter.
Who said this?
Christina Pink.
Oh, Christina.
On the NFL Network said, I talked to Coach Vrabel, and Coach Vrabel said, we're going to have to find a way to beat them 17-14. And I'm sitting there saying, if you're going to get to 17, Mike, you're going to have to kick a field goal at some point. Here's your chance to kick a field goal. I mean, what made you think the Titans were going to convert that? Nothing. But Johnny go for it, who wouldn't go for it last week against the Colts, got to go for it this week just because woke up today on the right side of the bed. Go for it.
How did he do with the timeouts?
Today? Or yesterday?
Yeah.
It didn't matter yesterday. I mean, he didn't need the timeouts.
So he did okay.
Didn't matter. Non-applicable. So, again, to me, I'm with you. The offensive line sucks, and I don't see a fix. That's what hurts me, is I don't see a way to fix it. I begged at the end of last year to fire the offensive line coach. They didn't do that. I begged all offseason, and you begged louder than I begged, but you begged all offseason to go get a right guard. They didn't do that. They're playing with a guy from the practice squad at right guard. And then Taylor Lewan got suspended. So I don't really see a fix on the offensive line right now, which is a mess. And, you know, in my opinion, to sum it all up, the coach had a terrible game last night. Not that he's a terrible coach, but he had a terrible game yesterday. And I feel very confident in saying that, led by the decision to let Adoree Jackson return a punt, which we all know he can't do. Adoree can't return punts. He cannot. He sucks. And in fact,
do you remember the first two games he returned punts in?
Yes.
What happened?
In the third game he returned a punt against the Seahawks, he returned one for a touchdown that was called back for a hold.
And then
was called back for a hold, doesn't count.
And then right after that, or right before that,
has never returned an actual game punt for a touchdown.
Another punt for a touchdown that was also called back.
He has never. That was a preseason game. That doesn't count. He has never returned a punt for a touchdown. He sucks, and his corner play leaves a lot to be desired as well. But let's get to your phones. 615-737-1025. And coming up next, is Marcus actually the problem? Because a lot of you seem to think he is the problem, he's the only problem. We will discuss Fireball Hot Take Friday live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's the GM, who never wants to blame the coach, and Jared, CSPN 1025, the game.
This is interesting here, going for it on fourth down. Fourth down and six. Just got it away again, and a sack. And guess who? Calais Campbell. The decision made by Mike Vrabel to not kick the field goal. Instead, they go for it.
For me, I love the fact that he trusts us to go make a play. You know, they play better than we did on that play. But I think, you know, the effort and all that stuff to get to that point was there. And, you know, we had an opportunity to make it a one-score game.
Mariota, and I can't believe they went for it on fourth and six, but Floyd is okay with them going for it on fourth and six.
I had no problem with the call.
Oh, I hated it. Oh, I hated it. They couldn't block Jacksonville, and there you go, right up the middle, boom, sack. So before we get to the phones, I want your opinion on this, and I'll stay completely out of it. And that is what I heard a lot this morning on Morning Drive, not just from the host, but mainly the callers. What I heard a lot on the midday show from the callers, and that is, is Marcus the problem? Is he the problem? Because a lot of people are just pointing fingers saying, Marcus sucks, he's the problem, he stinks. And I personally don't think that's fair. But what's your estimation of just answering that simple question, is Marcus the problem?
Well, he's certainly one of the top of the lines. I mean, he is not playing well. I mean, he's missing way too many easy balls. Way too many. And we did make a couple of throws yesterday. You know, we got Humphreys involved. We got Davis involved. We even got Sharp involved, which was good. I mean, yesterday's game, instead of what he's done today, yesterday's game was kind of hit and miss. You know, it was either 46 yards or incomplete. There was like no in between. and he's, I mean, he's struggling with you know, timing and with getting the ball out, and we're back to the same old. We heard a couple, heard the guys a couple of times say, "Well, he threw the out when the receiver went around the end."
I'm so tired of that.
That kind of stuff. So you know, that's we're back to that kind of stuff, which has kind of been haunting us for 3-4 years. So, but I mean, it's a major concern. I mean,
is he the problem or is the line the problem? Because to me, the line is the problem.
Well, the line was a problem yesterday, but I mean, it wasn't the first two games. Like, it wasn't last week, and so you know, yesterday they, you know, Jacksonville in my mind did just what they should do. And so I think they just lined up and overpowered us. And, of course, you
but
know.
But then if they did what they were supposed to do and it worked, then Marcus isn't the problem. See, to me, Marcus
I don't,
is
now,
a
see,
symptom.
You got it. You hate the coach and you love the quarterback.
I do not love
you
the quarterback.
You are finding a way to make excuses
for the
quarterback.
I do not love the quarterback.
We said this is year five.
He stunk.
No more excuses. It's do or die.
He
That's
stunk
just
against
that
Indianapolis.
Simple.
Indianapolis, he was horrible. I will give you that. Last night, I don't feel like he ever had a chance. I don't feel like he ever had a prayer last night.
Well, how'd he complete the 46-yarder? How'd he complete the 30-yarder?
Blind luck, chucking it deep.
Blind luck. Okay.
I mean, to me, that line, he had no shot last night. And so when everything's 3rd and 17, I can't blame Marcus for them losing that game. I mean, I don't think Marcus is but I don't think Marcus is just – like, I don't think if you put in a different quarterback that the Tennessee Titans all of a sudden are going to be, you know, in the Super Bowl.
Who's the different quarterback?
Tannehill.
Well, Tannehill's no different, you know, than what we got. I mean, he's more of the same. I mean, that's not the answer for us, you know. But, I mean, if you say, well...
He's a symptom, not a cause right now.
What if you put in, you know, Phillip Rivers or somebody? Now I think you know, be a little bit different.
Again, I think Marcus is a symptom and not a cause. So, against Indy, he screwed up the game. But this, I thought, symptom, not a cause. So, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I am covering for the quarterback. I don't know. Let's go to your phones.
You are.
Fireball Hot Take Friday. AG called before the show even started. And has been holding patiently. Kick us off, AG.
Hey, dude, I do not understand your fascination with Marcus Mariota. And like the GM said, you know, you're not really into Vrabel or John Robinson. And I watched the game last night. Marcus Mariota, he is under a microscope this year. The offensive line played bad, but it was several plays where Marcus Mariota held the ball too long and he did not get the ball out. And then the other quarterback for Jacksonville last night, did you see the ball placement? They always talking about the receivers ain't getting separation. They not running. Man, the receivers for Jacksonville Jaguars was not that open last night, but the ball placement is what made the receivers open. And Mariota just cannot place the ball in a spot to give a receiver a chance to make a play.
Thank you for the call, AG. Floyd, do you agree with that assessment?
Oh, the first two touchdown pass, or not touchdown. He threw one into double coverage.
You're talking about Minshew. Forget about Minshew. I'm talking about what Mariota. Can Mariota not put the ball on the receivers, like the caller said?
Oh, it's a little bit of a concern.
I'll say this with Mariota. Every time he throws the ball, I pray a little bit. You know, and it could be a short pass. It could be a long pass. It could be I see him go back to throw, and I'm like, Lord, be with the football. Please grace Darius Jennings' hands, and please let Darius Jennings catch it, because I'm not sure he's going to do that if you get to that stage. Which, by the way, I'm kind of down to see a little bit more Jennings, because I mean, the Sharp-Mariota relationship, I don't even get anymore. I don't understand it. I don't. But
well, they have. I thought yesterday some of those guys that we've been asking about all showed up a little bit.
Humphreys and Sharp.
Davis and Sharp. And, you know, those guys all kind of came out of the woodwork.
By the way, and I'm not making excuses about how bad the refs were last night, but as I said on Instagram last night, Hockley gave his dad a bad name reffing that game last night. And on one of the big ones to Sharp, they show the replay from another angle, and Corey Davis, there is Jacksonville's in a zone, and Corey Davis, before the ball even gets to Sharp, knocks down the defensive back. I'm like, pass interference? But, of course, Hockley's crew, they're too busy looking at, was that a little tug of the jersey or a big tug of the jersey?
They were awful. I thought they made several. We got one roughing the quarterback.
Textbook buy. Oh.
We got a couple of pass interferences that were just awful. I mean, there were way too many just god-awful calls.
Hockley's giving his dad a bad name. Ed should be embarrassed watching that game last night. Let's go to Larry, who's up next. What's up, Larry?
Fellas, I think y'all know how I feel about Mariota. I've been trying to tell you for a couple of years now. The O-line was terrible last night, there's no question. But, hey, they're blocking for Pee Wee Herman behind them. If we had Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins as our receiver, we would still be 1-2. Mariota is terrible. The coaching staff is awful if they actually think he's the guy going forward. And every time I see a Dory Jackson back there returning punts, I want to throw rocks at my TV.
I agree.
I mean, come on. Blow the whole thing up.
Well, I don't agree with that.
He's out of here at the end of the year. Why not see what Tannehill can do right away? Save the season before it's too late.
Thank you for your call, Larry. Floyd, what do you think of that?
I think, this is a typical reaction after a game like that.
Earlier in the week, if they lose to Jacksonville, we're going to get flooded with calls for Tannehill.
It's the way it's going to be, and I think we all understand that and understand the frustration of the fans.
Although I can agree with the caller there about Adoree, and I told Ian this, that when I was watching the game on TV against Cleveland, and they were like, back deep to return Adam Humphries, I was like, yes! Yes! Not Adoree back to return. Yes! And then I'm sitting at the Colts game on Sunday, and I see Adoree go back there, and I'm thinking to myself, no! Don't put him back there. And then yesterday, I'm saying, watching the game, when Adoree goes back, I'm thinking, Adoree, don't screw this up. And then I see the ball hit the ground, and I see him, and I think, do not touch that ball. Do not touch that ball. And then I see him go over to the ball, and I'm like, oh, no, he's going to fumble. And immediately on cue fumbled, and Jacksonville scores a touchdown. And I think that is a huge momentum shift in a kind of game where you could not give Jacksonville that kind of momentum, could not give Jacksonville that kind of cushion, could not on a Thursday night where you're the road team give that. And, of course, that's exactly what Adoree Jackson did. And I don't blame Adoree for that because we all know Adoree can't return punts. But the coach seems to be obsessed with it, and the special teams coach, who I have been pleading for them to fire for over a year now, and they will never blame that special teams coach for all these special teams mishaps they have. But they just seem to just keep wanting to run Adoree back there. So I guess I can't argue with that. I guess.
So whose fault is it the most? The head coaches or the special teams coaches or Adoree?
Well, in this case.
We're blaming them all.
I can't blame
Adoree. I'm curious if we're going to rank them. One, two, three, how would we rank them?
I cannot blame Adoree. Just like I don't blame Jameel Douglas. Jameel Douglas sucks. We all know that. I blame the general manager for having the Titans in the position where Jameel Douglas has to play because Jameel Douglas stinks. And we sat there at the draft. You know, I'll get into that rant on the other side. And your phones. We're right to them next. 615-737-1025. You know what else I'd love to rant about? How much I love Authentically American. I do. Authentically American, all of our gear comes right from there. That, not just us, though. 102.9 The Buzz, our sister rock station. 93.3 Classic Hits. 94.9 Game 2. 102.1 The Ville. All of our gear comes from Authentically American. And I see everybody rocking it in the hallways, and they love it, and so do I. Those polos I always tell you about, made in the USA, no roll collar, and the performance moisture wicking fabric with the September heat. You're probably going to wish you had one of those. Of course, the fleece is so comfortable, so great. Can't wait to bust it out and rock it every day that we're at Bridgestone Arena during hockey season. Everything from Authentically American is made in the USA. Authentically American, they're online at authenticallyamerican.us, a true American brand that's about celebrating patriotism, honoring the American hero, with 10% going to veteran and first responder charities. Authentically American, the next iconic brand that is truly American made. Jared and Floyd, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Do you think that a lack of open receivers is playing a part in the sacks or, you know, separation?
Well, I think it always plays a part. I think that you have to be able to protect, you have to be able to get open and deliver the football. You know, there's times where there's guys are open, there's times where guys aren't open, there's times where there's breakdown in protection, and there's times where, you know, we got to get rid of the football. So there's a lot of factors that go into it. And, you know, I know that everybody would like to pin it all on one or two people, but that's not the case, and it's not going to be what happens here.
Mike Vrabel says, don't blame those sacks on one person. Floyd Reese, do you agree with that line of thinking from the coach earlier today?
Oh, I think without a doubt. I mean, there are a lot of people that are involved in that.
So I put out on Twitter, I put out a poll earlier today, and I said, who do you blame the most for the Titans' loss at Jacksonville? Marcus Mariota, Mike Vrabel, the offensive line, or John Robinson? The offensive line leads the way at 45%, Mariota second at 25%, Vrabel third at 21%, and John Robinson last at 9%. I'm sorry, Floyd. I like John Robinson. I know you do, and he is good at some things. He's terrible when it comes to the offensive line. I mean, he cuts his starting right guard, and now they've got Jameel Douglas from the practice squad at right guard, and the guy couldn't block me. And what are they doing? We sat there at the draft, and we were like, all right, day two, they got to get a guard in the second round. And they didn't take a guard in the second round. Took the wide receiver instead. And they've done nothing to fix that guard spot, and that is just horrible. Ben Jones, terrible last year. They give Ben Jones a new contract. I mean, I think John Robinson deserves some blame for what we're looking at with the offensive line right now. I would just like to say that. Because Douglas simply does not deserve – Douglas is not an NFL player. He is a practice squad player, which is what he was yesterday – or what he was last year. And Calais Campbell just went right through him like he didn't even exist and sacked Mariota, I think, four times yesterday.
Well, he's not supposed to be a right guard.
Well, he's the right guard.
Well, he's not supposed to be.
Well, that J-Rob put him in a position to be the right guard.
You had Banfield, and you went out and you got Davis. And both of those guys have disappeared. So he's the third guy. So he's the plan was not to bring him in and say, okay, you're going to be our starting right guard. The plan was to bring him in and maybe keep him as a 10th offensive lineman or something like that, or put him on practice squad. But the other two guys disappear on you, and now what are you left with? You're left with your 10th guy lining up at guard.
Although you cried all offseason about signing somebody to play right guard, trading for someone to play right guard, drafting someone earlier to play right guard, and then when they didn't do that, you sat there during training camp and said, trade to fix right guard. You mean you cried about right guard all year.
And I was concerned all year.
And John did nothing about it.
Well, I think he thinks Banfield. And he drafted the kid in the third round. He thinks between those two guys, one of those guys is going to be a starter and one's going to be a backup, which is not unusual.
Well, you can think in one hand and I can watch Marcus get sacked in the other. Because right now, he's got a problem on his hands with the offensive line.
I mean, and I think it's, you know, probably only just started. Hopefully we won't have to go through this for very long. But, I mean, it's only going to get worse from here.
No. I miss the Russ Grimm offensive line. I don't know if it's the coaching. I don't know if it's the players. I don't know if J-Rob can't evaluate offensive linemen, which I am afraid is the case. I don't know. But I miss that first-year Russ Grimm offensive line. They could block. This team, they can't block.
Well,
back to the phone.
I mean, the guy that was the all-pro right tackle
can't block
on that team.
Can't block.
Got beat twice yesterday.
Yep, he stinks.
Well, so he's an all-pro one year, and he's a Russ Grimm, and I love him, and the next year he gets beat twice, and he stinks.
Maybe they should bring Russ Grimm back. Back to your phones, as promised, on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Phillip, go ahead, Phillip.
Hey, guys. The game against the Colts was Mariota, but this game, man, I don't see any quarter. You could have put Brady back there, and he wouldn't have been able to pass. With pressure up the middle would kill any quarterback, and we had pressure up the middle on a lot of those plays where he couldn't even step forward and do a pass. And the difference between the other quarterback, I thought we would be blitzing him more, but he had a clean pocket most of the time. And then I thought we got out coached because they would have him – when he hiked the ball, he moved. They had him moving in the pocket and stuff. We didn't do none of that. And I would like to ask you, Floyd, why are we leaving our little receiver in the block? that's just confusing as well. And also on the first down with the 2 minute warning, we come out in a run formation and run the ball on when we're backed all the way up, and they want to run a hurry up offense. I was confused on that play call too, and I get off the phone and listen.
Thanks,
guys. Thank you.
The what was the first question? What was he confused about?
I forgot. When he said, Floyd, I have a question for you, I kind of tuned out. Well, go to the second question.
Well, now I forgot the second question.
All right. Sorry about that, Bill. Let's go to Jeff, who's up next. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, long night.
Hey, guys. Hey, Floyd, we must be living in the Twilight Zone, because for once I'm going to take Stillman's side over yours. I thought coaching was horrendous.
Terrible.
I mean, it's terrible, and I think, you know, you take your points when you can get them when you're on the road, especially in a hostile environment when it's rainy and you haven't been able to move the ball. But that, you know, that notwithstanding, I think we all agree, you know, just from listening to you guys the first 30 minutes of the show, I mean, the offensive line is the main problem. But, you know, I just wonder if Tannehill's in there instead of Mariota, does he make a few of those open throws? I mean, Delaney comes to mind. That was it, second and six or third and six for a first down, and that changes things for you. Gives you a little more momentum. I think he had one to AJ Brown, who was open, throws behind him or over. So he threw a handful of, you know, makeable passes, and I just wonder if Tannehill would you know, I think he gets sacked if he's in there probably just as much as Marcus. But you got to, if you know you have an offensive line that's struggling, as a quarterback, you got to help them out. You got to make those open throws when you get them.
So I don't think. Thank you for the call. I don't think you can change quarterbacks without essentially ruining your season at the same time. I mean, unless you think Tannehill can take you into the playoffs or something like that, and then you ride Tannehill the whole season, I don't foresee you changing quarterbacks and it having the, like, the fans think if you change a quarterback, Tannehill will hit those throws and all of a sudden you'll win these games. And I just don't think it's that simple. And I think if you make that, now Tannehill's your starting quarterback for the rest of the year, and if Tannehill sucks, you can't just go right back to Marcus.
Well, I mean, the fans act like we've never seen Tannehill. I mean, Tannehill has a long history. He's been in the league, what, 8 years?
Yeah.
I mean, and 7 of these years he's been on tape, so we have seen him for 7 years. I think they have a pretty good feel for Tannehill and you know, who he is. And what he can do, and what he could do better or worse than Marcus. And so, I mean, I think if we think he's going to go in there and miraculously things are going to change, you know, I think we're probably not being very realistic.
DeJuan on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's up, DeJuan?
Man, today's a good day. It's a bittersweet day because for the longest, I was thinking Marcus Mariota had 102.5 on payroll. As much as y'all cover for him. I don't want to badger him too much. My main focus was, I mean, the Jaguars had the ball on the 20-yard line, 20 seconds to go, and they slinging that thing. The Titans would never do that. It was second and 19, we running it. Third and 13, we throw a 3-yard pass. We got to change the philosophy from this conservative approach. I mean, even the analyst from Thursday Night Football said, we wasn't playing Titans football. We wasn't running the ball and allowing Marcus Mariota to be conservative. That's what he said. We're not going to win playoff games allowing Marcus to be conservative. Why not let Tannehill play and see if he can do the one thing that that caller said was put the ball in the pocket? I don't care. The receivers aren't got to be open. He put the ball in the pocket. He never had weapons like this for the Miami Dolphins. So just see if he could do it. And if he's a good quarterback, maybe you don't need to do that first-round pick.
Thank you for the call, DeJuan. I think we – and I appreciate your call. I think we need to reevaluate who the wide receivers for the Titans are. I hear a lot of people keep saying, they got all these weapons, they're all this, and they're all that, and they're all – the running back, who I absolutely adore, cannot catch the ball, as we've learned the last 2 weeks. The tight end is good and reliable, but does not run very much. The other wide receivers – I'm sorry, is Julio Jones suiting up for the Titans? Don't see any Julio out there. Davis made a really nice one-handed catch, and then he fumbled the ball.
Wow, did he make? Was that a nice catch? That was pretty.
I know, but you would have gone bananas if it were a real close game and he had made that catch and fumbled the ball and the other team got the ball. Oh, I mean, it was a great catch, but I go back to the fact that Corey Davis had never done anything in this league other than one game against Philadelphia and one game against New England last year. But, I, like, yes, do the receivers have the potential? Sure. Also, I got to say this. And, I am not getting into the, you know, blaming the officials thing. But they got to call pass interference both ways. The call they had on Logan Ryan yesterday that they called pass interference was maybe one of the worst pass interference calls that I have seen since the NFC Championship game last year. And then Boye has his arm locked with A.J. Brown, so A.J. Brown can't bring his second hand up to catch the ball, and they don't call anything. I mean, they were terrible last night adjudicating pass interference. And that definitely hurt. I mean, Logan Ryan makes a great play on the ball on third down, and they call him for pass interference. And I know Vrabel's convinced you're never going to win a pass interference challenge, but you got to start throwing it because they're missing it too much, and it's hurting you too bad.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you got, again, indisputable evidence. They have to be able, if they call pass interference on a guy, they have to see that you never, ever touched him.
I mean, they have to see and you go to the bench, the take case, a chair, and smack the guy like it's wrestling.
If that's the case, then, you know, they would probably turn it over. But otherwise, if you've bumped him or put a hand on him or grabbed a jersey or tugged or any of that kind of stuff, they're going to let it go. I think that's their payoff.
More of your phones. Plus, again, I can't let it go from last night, and Floyd has no problem with it, and it drives me nuts. We'll get to that next. Make your picks now for Silly Underdog Picks, three college football underdogs you think will win this Saturday. The weekly winner will win tickets to an upcoming sporting event or concert. Hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app. Silly Underdog Picks sponsored by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Jared and the GM, Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Fourth down and a punt from Logan Cook. Penalty flag flies as Adoree Jackson has trouble. Ball is out. And Jacksonville has it near the six.
Not how we want to start the game. You know, we have to get a lot of things cleaned up. And I think that would be part of it. You know, being able to handle fielding punts in the conditions that we're going to play in. Wind, rain, whatever it may be, sunny. So there's a lot of things that we can improve on.
Okay, but at least make sure that you know the guy you're putting out there can field a punt before you put him out there to field a punt. And if Adoree Jackson has proven anything in his three seasons in the NFL, it is that he cannot return punts. And I know you just chuckle on it and everything, but he almost cost you a playoff game at Kansas City by muffing a punt. He muffs punts, and if a guy's going to muff a punt every now and then, at least give me a couple touchdowns or something. Adoree never does anything right on the punt return. Has never done anything right except for one preseason game in which it got called back. And yet the coach just keeps running him out there. I mean, I'd rather go back to the days of Mark Mariani just calling a fair catch every time the ball was punted. I will take that. And Vrabel just keeps running him in there. Yeah, can't have that. No duh, Mike. No duh. And it just drives me nuts. I mean, Adoree's not a very good corner right now, but he's certainly a horrible punt returner. Oh, and yet you act like this is no big deal. This is fine. This is fine. And you just keep running Adoree back out there.
I mean, this is just typical.
Don't think about this. Don't talk
typical.
About me. Talk about the decision to have Adoree back out there returning a punt.
I mean, you don't know if he's good, bad, or indifferent.
He's terrible. You
act like no punt returners ever muffed a punt.
He
ever.
Muffs them.
Nobody else has ever done that.
But he never does anything good.
Have you ever seen another team ever muff a punt?
Not against the Titans.
Never. Never happens. We're the only team in the NFL.
Reggie Barlow in the AFC title game in Jacksonville is stupid at fumbling a punt. But again, it's not like Adoree just – that was stupid, Floyd. When you know that when he went to go get that ball, you knew that was a bad idea.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, no, you were driving on the way home. But I just
– so I don't know.
Just so stupid. Just so stupid, and I'm so tired of watching Adoree return punts. He gets no yardage, he loses yards, or he fumbles. There's no positive outcome from him returning a punt, unless you consider catching it to be a positive outcome, which, again, almost anybody on this team can do. And they ran him out there, and there he goes, and fumble, game over.
Have you ever tried to return a punt?
That's not my job.
Have you ever tried?
I have one job. I'm good at it.
You said anybody could go back there and return a punt.
Anybody who's in the NFL. I said anyone on the team.
No, but
I said anyone
very,
on the team. I am not on the
very
team.
Very few.
Although if they'd like to have me, I will sign.
Very, very few can return a punt. Very few. Now, return a kick, you got a chance. Return a punt, no.
I will take Chris Sanders' son to go return punts right now for the Titans.
Well, he may be the best in the country.
Over Adoree Jackson.
He may be the best in the country.
Yes, but he's in college.
So, well,
I'll take college.
He's coming out next year.
And you know what? The Titans need him.
You'll have a chance
to draft him. Go get C.J. Sanders because he can return kicks. And what they got now, I mean, why can't Jennings return punts? He returns kickoffs, lead the league last year in kickoffs.
Again, night and day. Kickoffs and punts are completely different. There's absolutely no comparison between the two.
And it doesn't help that they have a terrible special teams coach who can't coach anybody how to return because he can't coach. Which, again, the special teams coach, I have been begging for them to fire Craig Aukerman. I have been begging. And I know they're listening over there right now, so let me just fire Craig Aukerman, please. I have been begging. I don't know how much the special teams has to screw up in order for them to fire the special teams coach.
Is it the head coach or the special teams coach or the returner? You never give me the answer.
Okay, I'll give you the answer right here, but you have to let me give you the
answer
before you interrupt me.
Number one.
So, in this case.
It's all I need is one, two, three. One.
Vrabel.
Two.
Aukerman.
Three.
Adoree.
So we're just screaming at Adoree. He's not even the problem.
Did I say that I'm not mad at Adoree.
Wake me when this is over.
I'm not mad at Adoree. I'm mad at Vrabel for putting him out there. And Vrabel has stuck with Aukerman when he could have easily fired him at the end of the year. So now any problem that's special teams related should fall on Vrabel's shoulders. So Vrabel gets the most blame for doing what we all know is dumb and having Adoree Jackson return a punt. And that's why you lost. I mean, that's one of 57 reasons, but I think it changed the momentum and everything of the entire game. Back to the phones. Ross is up next here on Jared and the GM. Go ahead, Ross.
Hey, friend. This is Ralph again.
Hey, Ralph. Go.
I spoke last week about Adoree Jackson and Titans not improving, and GM was kind of not agreeing. So there you go again. Adoree Jackson started the negative last week. And he started the disaster this week. And I just want to say again, Ken Wisenhunt, he got fired because he could not protect the quarterback. We saw 11 sacks with Baltimore last year, and we saw 9 yesterday.
Thank you for the call, Ralph. I do think that that is an alarming trend, that you can have these games on a yearly basis where you get sacked 11 times.
Well, I hope they're not on a yearly basis.
Well, they had 11 last year. They had 9 last week, or yesterday.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
That is a bad sign. By the way, Adoree Jackson has had a terrible year. Terrible to start training camp. Terrible in the preseason. Terrible on corner. Terrible punt returner. And there was a USA Today article about how Adoree is launching his entertainment career. And it was like the middle of the week. It was like he pressed pause on his iPad to turn away from the Colts game film, who they play in 3 days. And I'm thinking, that's the middle of the football week. And he's filming some pilot for a TV show. Oh, God. If they traded Adoree Jackson, you wouldn't see me shed one tear. Carl is up next. What's up, Carl?
Hey, guys. Hey, I agree with both y'all on Adoree, but regardless, once he fumbled that punt return, I just turned it off because I just know how it's going to end up. It just
did you actually turn it off when he fumbled it?
I actually did turn it off, and I kind of YouTubed it the next morning and scanned through and seen that we wasn't getting any better, but I think we're going to be 1-3 until Awan gets back, and hopefully he can help us make a difference. But I got an observation that I want to throw at you guys that I've noticed Mariota, and I'll get off and let you respond. But when the defense is showing blitz and he sees it, he looks scared and confused, and I don't know if he's ever going to get past that. I just don't think he's comfortable, and I just think he's very confused, especially under the blitz. When the commentator says the defense is showing blitz, I know we're not going to make a play. We're either going to take a sack or something. It's just not looking good on that end.
Thank you, Carl. Floyd, what do you think of that?
I mean, I don't know, but if it's true, I wouldn't be shocked. If I was Marcus, I'd probably be doing the same thing.
I wonder if they've ruined him. Like, because I was talking to somebody today, and I said, look, he's not a bust. You know, he's not just Ryan Leaf comes into the league like, this guy stinks. Kyle Bowler. Like, he's not a bust. But could it be that everything that's gone on has just ruined him to where mentally he just, you know, the changing the offensive lineup, the changing the coaches, constantly changing the coordinator, losing DeMarco Murray. Like, could it be young receivers, old receivers? Like, could that have taken its toll on him and screwed him up?
No. No, he's still young.
Oh, I think I worry that they've ruined him.
I'll say this. If that's ruined him, he's in the wrong business.
No.
Because it's only downhill from here.
Let's take one more. James. Go ahead, James.
Hey, I'm not going to get on here and be like everybody else and call for Tannehill, but my reasons are different. I want Marcus to play so that at the end of the season, everybody knows exactly who he is. And the more he plays, the more obvious it's going to be. What I'm calling about is you were talking about the wide receiver core. I tweeted you a film breakdown earlier of all of Marcus's misses. And these aren't misses, you know, when he's under pressure. These aren't misses close to the receivers. These are large misses. These are either dropping short, going long, way outside the framework of their body. And that has, maybe that has to do with him taking multiple sacks over his career, but what he is what he is right now, and that is a guy who is missing wide open wide receivers with no pressure in his face.
Floyd, thank you.
That's an issue for him. I mean, he's missed, you just think about these last couple of games, the number of wide open receivers he was starting with the first play last week. I mean, wide open receivers that he's missed. I mean, it's significant.
And how many of those, though, do you have before you can't play quarterback in the NFL? You know, I mean, I'm not one to jump on the Tannehill train, but I do feel like at some point you get there where it's like, hey, man, if you can't hit a wide open receiver, you can't play.
Well, again, we know what Tannehill is. It's not like we need to play Tannehill to figure him out. I mean, it's not like we think that he's going to miraculously be something different than he was for 7 years. He's not.
Yeah, like if Goff gets hurt and Bortles goes in there and starts missing guys like that.
He's still Bortles, and we know what Bortles is.
Right back to your phones next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Jared and the GM, ESPN 94.9 Game 2, the official English radio home of National Soccer Club. Tomorrow, Nashville SC takes on Pittsburgh at First Tennessee Park. Pregame 6:45, kickoff at 7 on ESPN 94.9 Game 2, powered by your Middle Tennessee Toyota dealers. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.